welcome to episode 43 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, Andy, and Lindsay. If you've taken a cruise before, you know that one of the best things about it is that your hotel takes you to many different destinations during your time on board. It's a great way to get a taste of several different islands or cities so you can determine which ones you want to return to for a more in-depth exploration. But how do you get out and see the best the location has to offer? Today we want to talk about shore excursions and let you know just how many options there are out there. So let's get started. So obviously, there's the traditional ones that are with the cruise line, but we kind of want to veer away from that because that one's easy.
Well, and I think that's a lot of people who stop there. They tend to, you know, they just, that's what they look at. They see those options and that's where they stop.
A lot of people aren't aware. The first time I took a cruise, I wasn't aware there were other options until I got talking to other people on board. And I said, well, we just did this one through the cruise line. And I said, well, we just did this one and it was a little different and it was more tailored to our needs. Or what we wanted to do. And, you know, I think a lot of people do get intimidated looking beyond what the cruise line has to offer. Not there's anything wrong with what the cruise line has to offer, but they have a great range of shore excursions.
I think also, at least some of my clients that I've mentioned alternative shore excursions to have this notion that it's unsafe to book alternative shore excursions, not unsafe in that you're going to get robbed, or hurt, but unsafe that you might not get back to the cruise in time. And these alternative shore excursions that we as travel agents know of and that are reputable suppliers have a guarantee where they will get you back to the boat on time. Even if the boat's going to leave early, they know this kind of thing. And at any rate, if you're booking through a travel agent, they all know. But if you're going to do it on your own, I think, Elizabeth, you were saying this earlier, that you just have to make sure it's a reputable company that guarantees that. That's just the biggest fear I think people have.
And you have to look for companies that offer guarantees that they will get you back before the ship leaves. Now, and that's often the way that the cruise lines, I hate to use the term, lure people in, but that's the way they get people to buy their shore excursions, is by, you know, if for whatever reason the company that's running the excursion can't get you back in time, they will hold the ship for you. But what a lot of people don't know is that these cruise line run led shore excursions are using local companies. They're often using the same companies that you can do through purchase through alternative means.
Or you know, it's not just about getting back to the cruise on time, but some people worry, well, what happens if the cruise misses my port or what have you? And those same companies offer guarantees as far as that goes. I mean, I've had refunds issued to my clients who booked an excursion when their cruise could not stop there at all because of weather.
That happened to me, yeah.
And then I also had one recently. It was a dog sled excursion in Alaska where the weather was too bad so the dog sledding camp up on the glacier was closed. So they couldn't go all the way up. So they got a partial refund and were offered an alternative, you know, similar excursion, but they didn't unfortunately get to see the dogs. But you know, weather is weather and that happens. So these companies stand by their product as much as any cruise line.
So, Andy, I know, we both cruised on separate, ships.
Separate cruises.
Same month. Anyway, in January and I used a third-party shore excursion company for three of our excursions. Do you have one that stands out in one of your excursions that stands out?
An excursion?
Yeah, not the company, but the excursion.
One of the things I like about using other companies other than the cruise lines for shore excursions is that they sometimes offer things that are a little bit different that the cruise lines themselves don't actually offer. I'm not a big fan of traveling in huge groups. And that's often what happens if you book an excursion through the cruise line itself. You often end up, if it's, for example, and you're stopping in Costa Maya and you're going to all the Mayan pyramids, you end up with a group of 16 people with two or three buses. I prefer smaller group experiences. And in St. Martin, my friend and I, we just rented Jeep Wranglers, but we had a local guide in front of us, and there was another family with us. So we were a convoy of three Jeep Wranglers. Just basically the guide would say, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to this beach? You want to see this? We're going to stop here for lunch if that's okay with you, and it'll give you a good deal. And you weren't tied into stopping there, but you knew that that was somewhere that your guide recommended, who we befriended along the way. We were in radio contact with him throughout via walkie-talkie.
Were you the driver?
I drove, yes.
Yeah.
And that's often not the case. If you take some of these sort of Jeep excursions through some companies, they don't let you drive.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to get cut loose. I'd been at sea for 2 days, 2.5 days. I was ready to let it rip. That Jeep Wrangler, we put it through some moves.
I think the one that stands out the most for me was when we stopped in Belize, we did a cave tubing excursion. And it's basically this national park where you have to hike through the jungle for about half an hour. And you get to the, to the river, and then you get in your tube, and then your guide kind of steers you down. And it's crowded. There are a lot of people that do this excursion. There's a lot of different tour groups out there. And the one we used that I thought was so cool was they took the tubes up to like the beginning of the mouth of the river where we went. They take those up there early in the morning, and then they blow them up there. Everybody else was having to tote their big tube through the jungle. And, there's one part where you have to cross the river and you have to hold onto this rope to get across. And, all these other people had to maneuver it with their big tube, and we didn't have to do that.
You said, awesome. Ha, ha, yeah. Meaner.
That was nice, yeah.
And that's a huge advantage. And the thing is, often these third-party excursions cost as much as or less than what you find on board. So now it's not always the case. I mean, sometimes you can bump up the luxury, but you probably weren't paying much more.
We paid less. They had a three-port deal. So we did three different excursions with them. But that was, it was really cool because they're like, okay, you get your sheet of paper and it says, when you come off the cruise ship, turn right or whatever and look for the people wearing this. And so you go and you check in and they take you right there. And it was like 12 passenger vans, maybe.
And that's often the reason why people don't take third party shore excursions, because those of you who've just taken, I'm going to ask a question here. Those of you who've just taken cruise line run shore excursions, why did you do that?
Because I'm chicken.
Yeah, I'm chicken. We were doing it overnight in Cairo, and
Cairo's kind of an extreme example for sure.
In Turkey, we used just the cruise line run ones as well. I don't know. It was convenient. It was easy to pick. They were right there. And at that point in time, I really wasn't aware of any other options, and the thought of going out on my own was not going to happen at that time. And I'm now doing that now, not a problem, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was easier. And there was also a fear factor. I mean, I think, as a less experienced traveler originally, it was about not knowing what to expect. And, sometimes that sort of getting off at a port and just walking around is a little bit intimidating for a new traveler. So I'm definitely glad that I did that to start with. But I've done just the cruise line, and then I've done some things on my own. So I think for a long time I stuck to the cruise line. And actually part of it was that promise of making sure I got back to the ship on time. I think I was really afraid of that.
Yeah, and there's lots to be said for that. You step off the cruise ship, and after you've, suffered the ignominy of having your picture taken with whatever local artifact is du jour. Trust me, I don't look good in the flamenco dress.
And that is a topic for another podcast.
But you see all the cruise line banners and, Jeep excursion this way, scuba diving excursion this way, and they're all right there at the end of the pier. Mm-hmm. And the fear is, you book your third-party excursion, and you and I have done this, Sandy, and often the directions are step outside the cruise ship terminal.
Yeah.
And that just seems to be a complete...
Walk past the guard shack.
Cause of flurry.
Yeah.
And I get that sometimes because we all hear these horror stories of you're going to be haggled to death, you're going to be hassled, you stand out like a sore thumb, you're obviously a tourist. But to be honest, I have sort of had people sort of come up to me, if you're polite and you use good manners and don't sort of freak out, you can find your way exactly where you're going. In Costa Maya, we took a third-party excursion out to see the Chichén ruins, Mayan ruins. We had to walk probably about 15 minutes outside the cruise ship terminal, but they gave very, very good directions on how to get there. And when we got to their office where they were leaving from, where the departure point was, they had bottles of water waiting for you. They had fans misting on you. And it was, you know, other than the slight inconvenience of having to walk to get there, there wasn't much at all. In St. Martin, for the Jeep excursion that we did, we were told to go to the Hertz rental car office and announce who we were. And they basically radioed a guy in from their depot to come in and pick us up. And they took us right out to this garage, which, you know, you're in the Caribbean Islands or wherever you happen to be, but you see a little bit of the local community, and you end up back in this garage, and you're ready to go and hit the road with your guide. And I can only speak of positive experiences, and you do get to see a little bit more of the local culture that way.
And you are in good hands. I mean, when you're with a reputable company, you're safe. I mean,
yeah,
you're safe as you would be.
We loved all our guides. They were really good. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, you feel like you're helping the people who live, because these countries are a lot of times pretty poor. And so you really feel like you're kind of helping the real economy more than when we stopped in Roatan, which is an island off the coast of Honduras. And, you know, we got there and the port was really nice. And I'm like, wow, I'm really surprised because the other ports were not this nice. Well, Carnival has built their own cruise port there. So if you're on a Carnival ship, you get this specific port. And it is, not, it looks like a mall. I mean, it's much nicer than what you see like in Costa Maya and stuff. So if you walk outside of there, then you see the people who are, you know, that's who we went with. We did zip lining there, which was fun, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Well, another advantage, I mean, I took a cruise years ago with my extended family, and I think there were about 10 or 12 of us on that cruise. I'd have to actually count in my head how many were there. And all adults at the time, this was before any of us had children, we wanted to do these private boat experiences through the cruise line. But it turned out once we went to book them, we were on different private boats. So in other words, the boats could hold all of us.
That might not have been a bad thing with extended.
Well, and some of my family listens to this podcast, so I won't say anything more. But it was.
I'm sure it would have been beautiful.
It was a delightful experience anyway. But we did have to split onto two different boats because even though each one could hold 12, they'd already partially booked them.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't do that. And one nice thing about a third party is, you know, often we can offer an exclusive, you know, this is really only being put together for you. And we can tell you ahead of time if that's not necessarily the case. And so I've had clients, you know, group cruise, all these people on a cruise together, book a private snorkeling charter. And the thing is that you think, okay, well, the cruise line offers 60 different snorkeling charters. So snorkeling experiences. So that'll be fine. But when you do it through a third party, a lot of times you might end up in a better snorkeling area because there's fewer of you. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see more and you can actually see the other excursions, you know, anchored a little ways away from you with like a million people in the water, you know, snorkeling around all these little tubes floating around and you've got your 12 and whether it was your group or whether you just did a third party excursion that was smaller, that can be a much nicer experience.
I did have experience where I had just my family group. I booked my own, created my own excursion. I mean, I'm not just talking about taking a taxi to somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I know I've done that too. But I've been to Belize on two occasions, and the cruise line I was using at the time didn't actually offer this excursion, although it was offered through other cruise lines. And we wanted to go actually out into the country, into the rainforest in Belize, and visit this howler monkey sanctuary. Their habitat's been threatened, and a group of 80 landowners have come together and created the sanctuary back in the 80s to protect these howler monkeys. Because Belize, I mean, it's former British Honduras. It was built, exploited by the British for logging, for mahogany. And so a lot of the trees were cut down, and these poor monkeys had their habitat just destroyed. But we wanted to go out, and it was, you know, we were picked up. My kids were looking at me. It's like, Dad, we're outside the cruise ship terminal. There's a guy there with a gun. And there's all these people, you know, it looks a bit weird. It's very hot. We were given a local phone number, and somebody from the cruise ship terminal came out and said, are you waiting for somebody? And I said, yes, we've got our own private excursion we booked. He said, do you have a phone number? I said, yes, of course we do. And he called. And got in touch with the guy and said, yeah, I'm just 2 minutes away. And he finally pulls up in this, you know, cr- Chrysler minivan. And we sort of looked at them and so we sort of realized, because there was no notification, that's one of the things sometimes that does happen with third-party excursions. They're not always the most evident. But the guy was fantastic. He knew what he was talking about. He gave us a little city tour on the way out, and took us out to the Howl Monkey Sanctuary, introduced us to the person who ran it, who was responsible for it being created, who was one of the local police officers, who then took us out into the rainforest week where we had this incredible encounter with wild howler monkeys with just the four of us. And my daughter, who is now 5, still talks about this. She was 4 at the time. And it was the monkey grabbed her wrist and was eating, you know, local nuts out of the palm of her hand. And that's something we couldn't have done through the cruise line or through, you know, I really had to sort of do some research on this. It was a lot of work, but to see the look on her face and just to be out there in the rainforest with just us and a couple of locals was just an absolutely incredible experience. And I'm so glad we did.
Now, if all of this sounds absolutely terrifying, I think another alternative shore excursion. Lindsay, I think you have a suggestion for another alternative shore excursion. But...
The port days tend to be the cheapest day to visit the spa. It tends to be the day that they run their specials, and you can kind of do a staycation on the ship. It's also the day that you have the best odds of having the least amount of people in the hot tubs and the pools and in the other areas. So it's kind of nice kind of volunteering and doing that. I'm intrigued by what Amy said about taking a taxi, though. Like, completely winging it on your own, getting off the ship with no plan whatsoever.
So there is something to say about that. Thank you for bringing that up. I thought of it earlier. So we did, I forget which port it was, a couple years ago. We did all the research ahead of time. We knew what beach we wanted to go to on our own. We grabbed a taxi. We don't know where we are. So he took us to the beach. We get out, and we're like, this is nothing like what we read about. So we're asking some people on the beach, what beach is this? It wasn't the beach we wanted to go to. This taxi driver did not want to drive us there. Well, so lesson learned, when you're getting a taxi, when you get off the port, you pick those taxis right there at the port, and they're supposed to have some have special tags or something on them that they wear. Some are on their dashboard. We walked a little too far out of the port to get our taxi. Yeah. So, just word of the wise there.
Yeah, I do think that's important, is if you intend to do that, ask your travel agent about the local taxis, because a lot of Caribbean countries, and actually a lot of countries everywhere, have some sort of regulation on the taxis that where you can identify a true taxi, because that is probably one of the places where people get in the most trouble is, you know, there are people who are out to make money driving you around, and you know, it's not Uber. It's there's no Uber is just fine, but there's, you know, no regulation. So and many of them are fine. They're not going to hurt you in any way, but they aren't actual taxi drivers. So you do have to be careful about that.
Yeah. So what about your pre and post cruise? Because this is one that I am most looking forward to for my next cruise. We're sailing out of Miami, and we have something really cool planned. But have you guys, so I'll talk about that in a minute, but have you guys done a pre and post
excursion?
Yeah.
No. In the port, my airplane riders need pre excursion.
I have done a post excursion. That was the infamous I didn't have any pants excursion. I don't know if I've ever told that story. Yes. Yes. I got really lucky that somebody in the house had worn pajama pants that night, because make sure you pull out all your clothes before you put the suitcase in the hall. That's all I can say. Yeah. But we were planning on doing the Everglades excursion because our flight out of Miami wasn't until 4. And so we wanted to do something that wasn't sitting in the Miami airport. I'm sure it's a lovely airport, but we did not need to be there for that long, especially when I had no pants. So yeah, that was when we went to the Everglades and I saw no alligators either. But yeah, so that can come in handy. And we actually did that one through the cruise line, but I'll often do pre and post stuff myself. I mean, that's where I feel the most comfortable. Now there are options. So if you're not sure what you want to do, and I've done combinations where I'll book an excursion, you know, I'll be there for 1 or 2 nights before, and I might book some sort of a tour, you know, during that time, but then the rest of the time I'll wing it.
Yeah, because we do recommend you get there a day early and not fly into your cruise that day. And for some people, like Lindsay coming from Seattle, it's not an option. She has to get there early. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we're doing before our cruise in September is a foodie walking tour of Miami, of South Beach.
Don't worry, Amy. Not all of us are doing it. Some of us don't get in until later.
Well, me and Lindsay.
If you want to stay tuned, I think that there might be some video.
Don't worry, we'll eat everything.
My plans, on the other hand, are to find the ideal Cuban sandwich. I am now obsessed with the movie Chef, and I've decided that I must.
But here's my take on that. I feel I don't need to take an excursion because I think I speak the language in Miami. I may be wrong.
You might be wrong.
Yeah, really.
But I can do good hand gestures and go sandwich kebab.
You're
going
to offend someone.
I'm going to have to dig deep back down on Facebook, but I think I found the perfect Cuban sandwich in Miami.
Ooh, I would love to.
Tiny little rundown spot when my husband
and I were. Exactly what we want.
Yes, yeah. Please, send it along. Send it along, for sure.
So can I summarize really quick and just say, are we at the point of summarizing? Or can I just say something?
Absolutely.
I think for people who have never done alternative shore excursions, I think it's worth just comparing. And that's what I always tell clients. You know, there's a ton offered to the cruise line. Check them out. Look at the descriptions. Look at the prices. And check out this one or this one as well, which is an alternative one. They might have other ones that prices might be different. Times might be different. Just check it out. Just give it a try.
And don't be afraid to ask your travel agent, because we often know a lot about the different vendors and we can offer some friendly advice there too.
And we really like doing these trips to test things out for you guys.
And if you want to make your trip a trip of a lifetime, make your dreams come true. And sometimes the cruise lines offer great, well, they do offer great excursions, but they're not always tailored to your exact needs. So don't be afraid to venture a little bit more off the beaten path. Travel like a local.
And don't be afraid to ask, because there are some really unusual things out there, like cooking classes and foodie tours. Yes. And volunteerism. If you wanted to, give back to a community, there's even opportunities like that. That includes everything from visiting a preschool and reading to kids to building a house. So all sorts of options there.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at OutlanderTravel.com and click on the podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/OutlanderPodcast, or just search for Fly Away on Facebook. Or you can email us at info@OutlanderTravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Andy, Amy, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly!